Welcome to Root of the Matter, a podcast from the Tennessee Farm Bureau Federation. We'll discuss the issues and events that define our most important industry, agriculture. Getting to the root of the matter today is your host, Lee Maddox.
All right, now we're joining with Tim Phelps with the Division of Forestry at the Tennessee Department of Agriculture, and you're the Communications and Outreach Unit Leader for the Division of Forestry there in Nashville. And Tim, the forestry industry is one of our most important aspects of Tennessee and our economy and what it means to the growth for all of Tennessee, and obviously it's just a vitally important resource that we have, and so often we take them for granted. And this time of year, it's from that October 15th to the May 15th, it's kind of fire season, right? And there's always precautions that we need to have all Tennesseans to be mindful of is whenever they're doing any kind of burning of fire or of debris or anything, they need to be mindful and get a permit, right?
That's right. Well, good morning, Lee, and thanks for having me. Always good to talk with you. Yeah, so this time of year, being October and November now, it's our time of year here in a hardwood state where a lot of leaves fall off the ground. And that's creating a fine fuel on the ground, and certainly folks were wanting to get out, clean up their yard, and fire is certainly an efficient and effective tool for removing that debris and cleaning that debris up. However, if left unattended or if done under situations that maybe aren't conducive to doing it safely, escape debris burns tend to be one of our more common starts for wildfire. So, and it's all because of that fine fuel that's going on the ground. Now, this year, we kind of enter it a little bit more advantageous than some other years in the past. We've had a lot of precipitation this year, so conditions are not looking too threatening for us, which is a great thing. It's a great time of year to be conducting a debris fire, but we just want to make sure folks do it safely. That they understand some safe debris burning practices, that they are employing those practices, and certainly a big part of that is getting a burn permit. It's basically our way of letting the debris burner know where, when, and how it is safe to conduct a debris burn.
Yeah, the one thing you don't want to do is to, start a fire and nobody know about it. And then, the next thing you know, we have conditions like we had over the weekend with the high winds that came up. And, that can always be a threat and can, we just don't want to get into a situation where, we had a couple of years ago to where, as you said, the weather conditions have been more favorable against the spread of wildfire. But as we know from out west, man, those things, it can get away in a hurry.
That's right. And I think, like you mentioned, that year we had in 2016, that fall fire season in 2016 was a whopper. It was historic in more ways than one. And we certainly don't want to experience that again. The reality is this the environmental conditions, the atmospheric conditions are nowhere near what they were then. The ground conditions are nowhere near what they were at that point. But that's not to say we should let our guard down. There are always some basic safety guidelines for conducting an outdoor burn. And that's really kind of what the debris permit is designed to do. But ultimately, it comes down to the burner. It's a lot of common sense. But even before you start the burn, you also want to consider, are there alternatives to burning that you might want to do with your leaf and brush that you're scraping up in your yard? Certainly makes excellent composting material. If you've got an area of your yard where you don't mind blowing all those to or raking them all to and letting them disintegrate, it's got some good wildlife values. It's got some good soil amendment values. So certainly composting is a good alternative to burning. But if you find that burning is your most effective tool for cleaning up your yard and woody debris material, there are just some basic safety considerations you want to check first. One And then always first, you want to, if you're within a municipality, you're within a city limits or a town limits, you want to make sure if there's any local restrictions in play. Local restrictions always supersede state restrictions. So that supersedes a state permit. So if you live within an incorporated city, check to make sure that there are, you just want to check and make sure if there's any local restrictions in play there. If not, you do need to get a permit from the Tennessee Division of Forestry. Now, in the past, we've had the option of getting one online for small debris fires, and we used to consider those 8x8 roughly in size. We've eliminated that restriction. We find that most people are following that anyway. They're not conducting these huge blowout piles. So we've eliminated that restriction, and we want to encourage anyone that needs to get a permit for any size leaf or brush pile. Unless you're clearing land, or if you're burning an ag field, or maybe burning slash on a recently harvested timber area, those would be large scale burns. You would need to call to get a permit for those. But every other, about 95% of the folks that give us a ring or need a permit from us are conducting rather small piles. So any size pile, go online, get a permit online. It only takes 2 minutes. They're free. You get an account. This is all at burnsafetn.org. I'm sure we'll provide that URL again at burnsafetn.org. It'll take you to an updated website that's got some good information about how to conduct a debris fire safely. It's got a direct link to getting that permit. Again, it only takes 2 minutes to do it. It's a free permit. Basically, we just want to know where you're going to be burning, kind of what you're going to be burning. It's also our way of telling you as the burner, you can only get it the day of the permit. So if you want to go on today and you're looking at burning, you go on today. But if conditions aren't right, if it's too windy, maybe it's too dry, if we don't feel like it's safe to burn, we just won't issue a permit. A lot of folks tend to think that's a ban, and that's really not considered a ban. It's just we're not going to issue a permit on days where we don't feel it's safe to do so. So, again, that's the when, where, and how communication for us to tell you if it's safe to do so or not. So getting a permit, it's on a redesigned system. It's super slick, super fast, super efficient. You'll be able to tell right away as you start to get that permit if your county – and this is they are determined on a county level basis if they're issuing permits for that day or not. If they're not, wait till tomorrow or wait for a couple of days from now. The other things you want to do when you're thinking about conducting a debris burn, certainly let your local fire department know about it. When they see smoke, you know they might want to respond, especially if they see a lot of smoke. So it's always good to let them know. Also your neighbors, keep them in mind, you know, because they're going to be inhaling some of that smoke. The more calm days with just a little bit of breeze are the great days to do that, because that smoke lifts up and blows away and gets carried off, so you're not creating a nuisance for your neighbors. Certainly you don't want to burn on windy days, because you know, if that leaf pile or brush pile, you get some wind behind that, it's going to kick an ember out of there, and if you're close to woods or other flammable material, you may just start a wildfire. So certainly don't want to burn on gusty or windy days. You always want to keep an eye on weather changes, you know, because it might be calm right now, but in an hour when you get that fire going pretty good, if a system's coming in, you know, it can change things really quick. So you want to be prepared for that. You also want to establish a control line around that burn pile down to bare mineral soil. Keep in mind that things like even green grass, as it if it's adjacent to your burn pile, it'll dry out as a result of that fire and then could become flammable enough to catch and spread. So just dig a little line around there. The line is kind of dependent on how big your pile is, but the wider, the better. You definitely want to keep some hand tools on hand to knock down embers as they fly out. That would be like a rake or a shovel. Certainly if you can keep a source of water nearby. If you're close enough to a garden hose, have that garden hose extended, have it on, and ready to squirt out any embers that might come around. If you can't extend a garden hose, take a 5-gallon bucket of water out there. Water does two things to the fire triangle, which is, you know, heat, fuel, and oxygen. It eliminates the oxygen by suffocating the fire, and it reduces the heat. So you can really knock down a wildfire or a escape fire pretty quick with those things. So the last tip, and it seems obvious, but it's honestly one of the biggest reasons that we see a lot of escape debris fires, where it is basically you want to stay with that fire until it is completely out. And that means cold or cool to the touch. It's easy to think about, you know, starting a fire and it's going to take a little bit to get done. And maybe there's an exciting UT or Alabama football game on, you know, you want to go in and check it out. But as soon as you go in there and you get some winds that kick up and blow away on you, you come back and you see there's a fire that's not your burn pile. So that can create issues. So stay with your fire until it is completely out. And just to reference that website again, burnsafetn.org, many of those things I referenced in that list of considerations, like windy days, checking your forecast. We've got direct links from the permitting system to access that so that you can be as knowledgeable. Knowledge is power. So the more knowledge you have at hand, the safer you can be with that fire.
Tim, good information there, and obviously, you know, that's just, it's just common sense that we need to be careful around fire. We know, surely folks know how dangerous that fire is and how devastating it can be. You know, when a house goes up, you know, it's just, it's really incredible how powerful fires can be, and we've seen that from what the folks out west have experienced this year, and we don't want to have what we had going on here, like you said, in 2016 with all those wildfires. But your Division of Forestry, you know, have really been working on the capability to fight those unfortunate, you know, those fires that have gotten out of hand. And a lot of times some of these fires are not caused by folks that are debris burning. They've been caused by lightning or some other natural forces. So, but you've got some updates on the Division of Forestry's, you know, capability to fight wildland fires, right?
Yeah. Wanted to offer a few things that we've done, you know, since 2016, you know, anytime we've got any fire, really, we do what's called a tailgate session, after action review to see what could have been done better. Were there safety issues that were a concern, and how can we improve on what we do and how we do it? We do that all the time, but certainly 2016 was a wake-up call on capacity. What kind of capacity do we have to meet the challenge and respond to it and in an efficient, effective way for the safety of our firefighters, and certainly also for the safety and protection of life and resources in Tennessee. So a number of things have happened since 2016. We're starting to really see the fruition of that come about this year. One is you mentioned the Western fires. You know, we've always kind of had a connection with sending some of our wildland firefighters out, deploying them to the West. In the past, there was a way that they could do that by taking annual leave and going out and doing that on their own time. Now we're a lot more integrated into the system on a national level to where we can send out our employees as state of Tennessee employees to go out and respond to wildland firefighters, whether it be California, Montana, Texas, anywhere outside of Tennessee. Now, we only do that when it's safe enough here to leave. We don't want to, you know, abandon this area and leave it prone to not being able to respond here. But typically, when the West is experiencing their fires, which is the summer, we're not experiencing that as much here because things are green and pretty lush. So I've been with the division now 14 years, and I can't think of a year where we sent out this many people or resources in one year. But we sent out over 160 personnel to help fight Western wildfires. And again, that was states like Texas, Oklahoma, and more of the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington, Montana, Colorado, and others. So we had folks deployed all over the place. What that did was it did a number of things. One, it gave them experience in an off season. It kept them fresh, and it also provided them an opportunity to learn new techniques from professional wildland firefighters elsewhere. So it increased and enhanced their capability of responding to fire here. Certainly showed our volunteer spirit by assisting others, because we received that when we, you know, back in 2016, we had resources coming in at the national level as well. So it's, you know, we scratch each other's back in the wildland firefighting community. So it's always great to see that camaraderie. And we got a lot of really good props from our Western partners about our capability and our attitude and just our ability to fight fire out there. And not just our personnel, but also sending some of our equipment out there. Certainly in these times of budget crunches too, it's always good too, because when we're sending those folks out there, we're getting those resources are covered by the host agency. So those, the financial side of that is being covered by wherever we go to assist. So if we go to fight a fire in California, California is paying the bill on that. So it's helping our state budget as well. So a number of positives with sending our folks out on Western fire department deployments. And again, that number one really being that we're getting good experience in our off season and our technically our off season. It's making us more efficient and effective at fighting fire when it comes back here. Beyond that, we've increased capacity with some of our equipment. We are in the midst of exchanging some aging equipment, primarily our dozers. We have had a tremendous fleet of dozers dating back to 2005, when we completely replaced all of our statewide fleet of these dozers. At that time, they were Caterpillars D3Gs, and that's our primary defense for fighting fires, basically creating a line around it and containing it within that area. It's an efficient way of doing that. But those were starting to get a little old. They were starting to get number of hours on them. Sort of varies across the state, but it's time for a replacement. And fortunately, back in 2005, we had enough foresight to know that we were going to eventually need to replace them in the future. So over time, we've been building up funds to replace them again. So we've got plenty of money in the coffers to do that. And we're starting now to do that. But we went to a John Deere model this time, a John Deere 650K. It has incredible horsepower. It's considered the most state-of-the-art firefighting dozer in the U.S. It's got a tracking system. It's also, you know, one of the big concerns for us always is firefighter safety. And this is considered one of the most efficient and safe pieces of equipment for wildland firefighting. So we're excited to see those start to come in. Some counties have already received them. We're going to continue to receive them and replace them over the next year or so across the state. So some really great new equipment out there, making our efficiency even better and certainly our safety even better for our firefighters. Another thing to point out is a new tracking system. This is a dispatching system. So when somebody calls in a fire, usually it's to 911, and if it's a wildfire, they'll get in touch with us and we will dispatch our equipment out. We've got this new slick system, a computer system called Fire Response, which helps us track where our equipment is on any given fire, and it allows that operator to provide pretty much real-time updates on the condition of that fire. So the fact that they get the call, they get to the site, they unload the equipment, they start fighting it, they can provide up-to-date information on the containment level. They can even provide some pictures to the system showing the severity of the fire itself. So what's really kind of neat about that to the Tennessee resident and citizen is that there is a public viewer component to that. Folks can go online at tnwildlandsfire.gov. Again, that's tnwildlandsfire.gov, G-O-V, to look at what our current wildfire situation is. And they'll see a live map of where we are currently or actively fighting fire, or had within the last 24 hours if the fire is out. So if folks want to just see where fires currently are, they can get on there. And, you know, fortunately, again, this year has been a pretty light load. So you may get on there and not see much at all. But if you wanted to see what kind of activity there was any given time, you can go in there and look and get a containment update and get some information about that. So we're excited and proud of that system. It makes us more efficient with our equipment and our personnel with making sure we've got enough resources in different areas to fight fire. Again, all of that is on tnwildlandfire.gov. As we beefed up or added that website, we also took advantage of that opportunity to provide some more resources for landowners. Landowners can go on that website and see what their risk is to wildland fire. We are connected to a Southwide partnership that showcases, based on your address, you just punch in your address and it's going to show you what your wildfire risk is. That's based on how steep your slopes are, what kind of vegetation is around you, and fire history. So another neat tool for landowners to kind of get an idea. And, you know, part of our message there is that we do live with fire. It's not as random as folks might consider. It's a part of nature. And it's usually not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. So they can use that model, especially if they are in a moderate to high risk area, to really start thinking about what can I do to protect my home or be ready in the case of a wildfire. And certainly that gets into some of our other programs that we like to promote through fire prevention or fire adapted communities, we like to call it, where homeowners and communities can plan to prepare for wildland fire when it comes about. Again, that's at tnwildlandfire.gov.
So, Tim, a lot of information there that you all are continuing to update, and you're continuing to be prepared in the event of wildfires. And that's extremely important in this day and age. And just thanks to the Division of Forestry for investing in trying to protect all Tennesseans. And that's the thing. You've got a response ready basically in all 95 counties, right?
That's right, yeah. Now, you can't get a permit in every single county. Some, like I said, many municipalities have their own restrictions on burning, and the larger counties like Davidson, Shelby, and others, have some of their own restrictions. But we are prepared to respond and coordinate response with local fire departments and or volunteer fire departments at any time. It's those partnerships that's what really makes all this effective.
And that's something that you're always working on, right? The Division of Forestry constantly working and looking at ways to help prevent fires. But then once they do occur, you're ready to respond and to try to make the best or to try to stop these fires from spreading as quickly as possible.
That's right. In fact, when you visit tnwildlandfire.gov, you'll notice that we've sort of split up wildland fire into three main areas. Certainly fighting fire is one of those, and that involves all of our partners. It involves those outlooks. What is our fire prediction for the next few months? What sort of capacity do we have to fight fire? What are some of those risks in play for, this current season and beyond? But certainly preventing fire is another major category. Working with communities to prepare them in advance of wildland fires to make sure that they're prepared for that, to make sure homeowners know that they have defense mechanisms that they can employ themselves you know, keeping leaves out of their gutters and off their roof, keeping firewood stacked away from the home, keeping your vents, making sure your vents have adequate restrictions in place so that embers can't be sucked into a vent and into your attic. Number of things like that, that homeowners and communities can do to prepare in advance of wildfire. And the third thing is prescribing fire, because we do use fire as a tool for a number of reasons. One reason is for wildland fire prevention, or we call it mitigation. So we can burn out some potentially flammable and severe situations in advance of a wildfire, because we can do it in a more controlled fashion. We can keep the temperature of that fire cooler. We can plan on which days we want that to burn so it doesn't escape and blow beyond where we want to do it. So we can prescribe a fire to maybe eliminate the opportunity for a wildfire in the future. But also beyond that, this wildland fire mitigation, there's also a lot of benefits to prescribed fire for community, natural communities' ability to thrive and be healthy, especially in terms of wildlife habitat. I'm thinking turkey and deer mast and other reasons, and certainly for certain types of vegetation, such as native warm seeds and grasses. So a lot of good uses for fire. And you know, when you know your enemy well, this case being fire, to fight it and battle it, you also maybe know how to use it for good. So that's where prescribed fire comes in. And our division has a service available for landowners if they are interested in conducting a prescribed fire. We can do that for a rather inexpensive way. Basically, we're just trying to cover our costs. We're trying to help the landowner improve and meet their objectives for land management. And certainly we want to help mitigate wildland fire where we can. So that service is available on all three of those subject areas: fighting fire, preventing fire, and prescribing fire are all listed on that tnwildlandfire.gov website.
Tim Phelps, a lot of great information, and we appreciate all the work that the Division of Forestry is doing to protect our forest and to protect our homes. And we just appreciate the continued efforts that are going forward, because this is just an incredible resource that we have, our forest industry across the state. It's over half of the state is forested, so we need to be mindful and be fire wise, right, all the time, especially during fire season.
That's right. It's something we always kind of keep in the back of our heads. Certainly, October, November tend to be our driest months of the year, where we typically see the most wildfire. You know, this year we are on track, if we can finish out, knock on wood, to break in a record that we broke in 2018. For record low number of wildfires, burning a record low number of acres in Tennessee. We're on track to that this year. Obviously, a big part of that was that precipitation that we've seen throughout the year. Been very advantageous that way. But in these years where we've got sort of a light load, it's always good to prepare for those years like 2016, because they happen, and it's going to happen again. So being prepared for that now through training our firefighters, training volunteer fire departments, training other partners, and certainly working with homeowners, landowners, to prepare themselves to defend their own property is all a part of that equation. So we don't let our guard down during these cool and wet times. We prepare for the future. So appreciate everybody's help, and Lee, I appreciate you for having me on today to share some of this great information that we've got.
Tim Phelps, thank you so much for that, and everybody, again, needs to be mindful of the website, the resources that are available. We'll continue to share that website at tnwildlandfire.gov, right?
That is correct, tnwildlandfire.gov, yes. And to get a permit, that's burnsafetn.gov. And they actually both point to the same place, but it's all sort of nested right there in one spot to make it easy for folks.
Very good. Tim Phelps, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate it.